Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. Good afternoon, everybody. I am your host, Derek Felix of the Hard Hits Network, and it is the podcast, a special edition of the Major League Baseball trade deadline, which has come and gone an hour ago, about an hour ago, because there was a last minute or last second trade that could definitely impact things in that National League, especially when you talk about the Cubs and you talk about the Brewers. So, you know what? Why don't we just start with that, and I'll get to some of the other trades. But, I didn't know whether or not the Brewers would actually make another move. There was talk that they were interested in Zach Wheeler, but that never materialized because the New York Mets are a very predictable team. And don't seem to have any idea on how to improve their lineup, their position players, which remains weak. So they obviously had unrealistic expectations of what they could get for Zach Wheeler, even though Zach Wheeler's been very good. I talked about Tao last night on our last podcast. But be that as it may, the Brewers, after shifting Travis Shaw to second base after acquiring power threat Mike Moustakas, a proven guy that helped the Royals, the Royal Crown, win a championship and got to two World Series. They then make a deal with the Orioles, who are just lost. They're lost. And they better hope that the two prospects that they got, number 7 overall and number 14 in the Brewers organization, they better hope these two guys pan out, because I just don't understand giving up second baseman Jonathan Schoop. I don't get it at all. And it's just an organization that just seems directionless. We talk a lot about the Mets and how they don't seem to have any direction. But at least they have some baseball. At least they have Omar Minaya in there. They have some good baseball guys. And I'm not trying to disrespect Duquette over Baltimore. He's a very good baseball guy. I just don't know what's going on there with the management, with the owner. I think he needs to be out. I think he needs to be forced to sell the team. They don't draw. Camden Yards is one of the best ballparks to go see a game. And that doesn't matter. And I don't get it. I don't get it at all. They also unloaded Kevin Gausman. Kevin Gausman goes to the Braves. I thought the Braves actually made a couple very good moves. They acquired Adam Duvall from the Reds, who decided, maybe it was time to move on. And Duvall was not matching what he did last year. They stole him from the Giants a couple of years ago. And Duvall's a power guy, a power bat, but I think that could definitely help the Braves. And you got Matt Wisler, and they gave up a couple other guys. I actually think the Braves made a couple of nice moves. I'm just going to try to go through each deal. I just think that Jonathan Schoop, and the way he finally got hot, the way he's been swinging the bat for the past 3 weeks, that's the guy that I expected. That's the guy that I thought would actually be a dark horse candidate, maybe, for that MVP in the AL, because I thought he could hit 30 home runs. I thought that he'd be 100 RBIs. He's up to 16 home runs, and he's hit a lot of them lately. So he's on a hot streak. This guy was very good last year, and I really like this move for the Brewers. And you talk about the fact that Travis Shaw is going to stay at second base probably, with Jonathan Schoop potentially playing shortstop. Apparently he had played shortstop before. And but I'll tell you what, I mean, it should be fun. It should be fun to follow. Obviously, I think the Brewers are an exciting team, and I like what they did. I like what they did. You know, it's they did some good stuff there. I think they should have probably got one more pitcher. But, you know, we saw some unpredictable moves, moves that we didn't really see coming to fruition. Like Chris Archer not going to the Yankees or not going to other teams, becoming a Pittsburgh Pirate. And who would have predicted that? The Pirates, they paid a hefty price. I gotta tell you, they really did pay a hefty price. And hopefully, it works out for them. Because, you know what? You know what? This is not just a move for now. All right? The Pirates, they think they can chase down that second wild card. And I understand, Dan, there are some teams, there are some good teams in front of them, which, you know, was definitely relayed to me by Megan Brown, the Brewers girl that I follow who covers baseball on Twitter. And she makes some good points. But, I mean, I don't look at the Diamondbacks as world beaters. Yeah, they're good, especially their top two starters of Greinke returning to form and Patrick Corbin, those two guys, and Goldschmidt rounding into form. Those guys could carry them. The bullpen is not what I would call great. I know they made a bullpen move, but I want to call their bullpen great. They made a good upgrade at third base as well. So, I mean, I don't see them as a great team. The Braves have been very sketchy of late, and that's why they're making all these moves, because they're trying to get back in the playoffs and back to where they used to be. And I understand it. You know, they're in a very tough race right now. So I understand what they're doing. So what I'm going to do right now is just break it down a little further and look at a couple of these trades. Obviously, Chris Archer going to the Pirates, and Pirates giving up an outfielder by the name of Austin Meadows, who came off of the Pirates and was good, and he's finally healthy, and he's 23 or 24 years old now, and I'll tell you what, I mean, he could turn out to be a star, and that could be a really great deal for the Tampa Rays, who also landed Tyler Glasnow. I understand Glasnow was inconsistent this year and hadn't pitched as well, but you know what, I really like that deal for the Tampa Rays. From the Pirates standpoint, all right, Archer's, what, 27 years old? And he's got a nice, affordable contract. He's on a good contract. And he's not a free agent until after 2021. So they didn't just do it for now. They did it for the future as well. So it's almost like an admission that maybe, you know, maybe we made a mistake trading Gerrit Cole, who has been excellent for the Astros, you know, behind Justin Verlander and with Dallas Keuchel mixed in. And as well as the other two guys who are also very good. But I guess I can understand, I can rationalize why they had to part with what they had to part with. Because when you got a guy that has that kind of contract, affordable, very affordable, cheap, not what's it, $9 million a year, and hey, I mean, it makes sense. Obviously they believe in the outfield that they have already with Starling Marte back to being Starling Marte. Hopefully there's no more performance enhancers, you know, what happened a couple of years ago. And Gregory Polanco, although I think Polanco should be hitting for a higher average. He certainly has some power. He's been a little disappointing. I thought he would be better at this point. Look, there's still time for him to get better and to improve. And they stole Corey Dickerson away from the Rays, who just decided they didn't want him anymore. And that's a good outfield. It is a good outfield. It's not great, but it's a good outfield, a solid outfield. and these are guys that can hit. So they're not going to blow you away, but they can hit and they can run. So they obviously just decided, you know what, we can do this deal, and we think that if we get Archer moving into the National League and get him out of the AL East, that maybe his numbers will improve and he won't have over a 4 ERA. So I do understand. I get it. I get what they're doing, and we'll see how it goes for them. And but I think I like that. I really love that return. I love the return that the Rays got. This is the Hard Hits Network. This is Derek Felix. Derek Fox Felix here, Staten Island, New York City. Another nice summer day. And it has not rained. The rain has held off, so that's good. And I guess the Yankees are going to get their game in with the Orioles. Maybe the rain will be hitting later tonight. And Wednesday, who knows what will happen before that four-game series in Boston. The Yankees did not add anybody today. The prediction of Curtis Granderson to the Yankees did not come down. Curtis Granderson staying with Toronto, add an extra outfielder. So that tells me one of two things. Number one, they think Aaron Judge will be back before September. So that's positive. And number two, maybe they're still hopeful that Clint Frazier can eventually return. But I don't put a lot of stock in that. You know, when you talk about post-concussive symptoms and dizzy spells, I think they should just shut him down. I would shut him down. He's too valuable, and his future is too important. Yeah, I wouldn't mess with that right now. I mean, we're on the verge of August 1st, and I don't know. I just don't know. You know, you don't know how long it will take for him to recover. So, I mean, that's all I'm going to add on that note. The Mets, you know, they didn't do anything, and why would they? They didn't even trade Jose Bautista or Devin Mesoraco, so they are who they are, and they really think that, you know, they can somehow piece it together. I still don't see how. I mean, all I see is Conforto and Nemo as the guys that are locks in that lineup. Cespedes, you don't know when he'll be back. You don't know if he'll be the same player, especially when you get older, when it comes to groins and hamstrings and leg injuries, and he's had that history. You just don't know. You just don't know if he can stay on the field. And Jay Bruce, yeah, I mean, Jay Bruce, you'd have to expect to be better next year. I mean, just by default, basically. This year has been just awful for him. But Rosario will have to be a lot better. And I've already spoken about the Mets, so there's just really not much else to add there. All right. Winners? I definitely think the Dodgers are a winner. And, gee, what a shock there. You know, the Dodgers got the best guy. They got Manny Machado. Manny Machado, I mean, for the Orioles. And you know, you do it. You do it every time. Corey Seager's out until next year, and Manny Machado's playing both shortstop, and he's playing third base right now, and his defense is just off the charts. I mean, I see him making plays all the time. He had his first home run as a Dodger in a game last night that I think they lost. But, you know, Manny Machado is special. And I've moved him up over Bryce Harper, who did not get moved because I think the Nats realized there's no way we could move him now. I mean, if they were serious about trading Bryce Harper, they would have had to make him available at least a week ago, 7 to 10 days ago, so they could have discussions. You know, when that came down last night, it just didn't make a lot of sense. And then you saw that he was told by a guy that he likes in the organization, we're not trading you. We're gonna keep you. We're going to see if we could somehow get hot in these final 2 months and maybe squeak in. And it's open. It's wide open. So here is possibility. I mean, so we'll have to see. You know, we'll have to see. They did trade Kinsler, a guy they picked up from the Twins last year, Knight's late inning reliever to the Cubs. And that's a good move for the Cubs. I mean, Cubs trying to solidify their pen, and I like that move, certainly. So that's a nice move. He could probably close games for them for now until the other guy gets back. So I think that's a good move for the Cubs. I think the Brewers are winners. I mean, definitely. And don't forget the Dodgers. The other reason they're winners, they got Brian Dozier from the Twins, from the Twinkies, to play second base. Now, I'm not as huge a Brian Dozier guy as some of the other fans are. But you know what I'll say about Brian Dozier? I mean, he can get high. He can get really high. I remember 2 years ago, he was just doing nothing on my team. And this is why I'm not in fantasy baseball anymore, because I was just like, you know, he's striking out. He's not hitting for any average. He was hitting just horribly. And I was just like, you know what? I dropped him. I was foolish enough to drop the guy. And, you know, when I didn't drop him probably until late June. And then, I don't know, it took maybe about two weeks or whatever. All of a sudden, he just went on an absolute tear, where he hit all, what did he hit? Like, I think he hit like 27 of his 40-plus home runs in like the final like 8 weeks. It was unbelievable. It was incredible. So he does have that. He brings that element. You put him in that lineup, man. Yeah, I mean, he could be pretty scary. So, yeah, pretty scary with what they have already. If Cody Bellinger actually hit better, a little bit of a sophomore slump for him, sophomore jinx. Boy, I'll tell you. I mean, their lineup's pretty good. Max Muncy, of course. Peak, I think, is hurt right now. Peak, too, is a good bat right there. They've played Alex Verdugo a little bit. They're a top prospect, so who they did not part with, and that was smart. So somehow they kept both Verdugo and Bueller, not Ferris Bueller, but Walker Bueller. I love Ferris Bueller. Who doesn't love Ferris Bueller on a nice day like today? So even though it's a summer, but still, you know, I mean, who doesn't? So I think. Obviously, they're winners. The Phillies, I talked about the Brewers as winners because I like what they did. The Phillies, I like what they did, adding Ozdrubal Cabrera. And the Phillies seem like they've done some pretty good things with this deadline. So they should be pretty happy with some of the additions that they've made. So, I mean, those to me are teams that I think teams that have done well. So when you look at the trade deadline, you know, you try to assess the teams that really made some big upgrades in the Phillies trade and Phillies adding, you know, former National Wilson Ramos at catcher. You know, I think that's an excellent move. And I understand Jorge Alfaro. He's got the 7 home runs. He came over for Cole Hamels, and was part of that Cole Hamels trade with Nick Williams, and who has 14 home runs. And Alfaro's got 7 home runs this year, but he's not ready to be the full-time catcher. So, you know, you can get that upgrade and have Wilson Ramos as your starting catcher. You know, Alfaro maybe as your backup. Why wouldn't you do it? But he did have an injury, a hamstring injury. So anytime, you know, there's that kind of injury, you do worry about that. But he's been great this year. He's been terrific for Tampa. So you just hope that when he comes back, he stays good. He's good defensively, and the Phillies catchers don't have good defensive guys. So, I mean, it is what it is. But that strength, if he comes back the right way and they don't rush him, you know, that lineup's even better, man. I mean, when you talk about Cesar Hernandez, Reese Hoskins, Herrera, who's always underrated, Santana, who I didn't understand the signing, now I do because Hoskins plays the outfield and production's great, and you knew Santana would produce the RBIs, and he wouldn't hit for much of an average, but he hit some home runs, walk, RBI production. Now you have Ramos, Nick Williams, who's become a regular. Mikel Franco looks to be heating up. They definitely look like the favorite to finish first in the NL East. They are first. The Braves are chasing them. The Nats are still hoping they can make a push. I like where the Phillies are at. You know, not to mention, and this is something that I think I should mention, but when you have a couple of good starters who can pitch deep into ball games, you know, that really helps. And I'm not talking so much about Body by Jake or Jake Arrieta. If I call him Body by Jake, because it's just the nickname I came up with, Body by Jake. And anybody who knows me or is a little older, they know what I mean by Body by Jake. with the whole regimen and training and all that stuff. But when you have two good starters and one Cy Young candidate, yes, Aaron Nola, he'd be third in the Cy Young right now. And he pitched an excellent ball game last night for the Phillies. A 2.35 ERA with 12 victories. They're excellent in the walks to strikeouts ratio. I mean, this is a strikeout per inning, 2.35 ERA. Yeah, I'll tell you, this kid is the real deal. And you have Arrieta. You have those two guys in the front of your staff. That's pretty good, I'll tell you that much. Yeah, I like where the Phillies are at. The Braves are hoping that Kevin Gausman can pitch better in the National League. He's got to stay away from the long ball. Yeah, that's always, and he's basically a pitch to contact pitcher. So it means his stuff's got to be on. You know, does going to the NL East help him getting out of the AL East, you know, or the AL Beast? Maybe it helps. Maybe it helps. You know, I don't think the hitting is as good. I mean, at least with a couple teams, it's not as good. You don't have to worry about the Yankees or the Red Sox just ripping you to shreds. I mean, you still have some good lineups, but I think that they did pretty well. So I've named a couple of teams that I definitely think have done a nice job, at least with this baseball trade deadline. Are there any teams that made moves today that I didn't like, that I didn't really understand? A lot of people didn't understand the Pirates doing the Archer move, but I actually can justify it because he's got a nice contract, and you know, maybe moving, switching over to the Pittsburgh Pirates usually do a nice job with pitchers. And yeah, going to the NL Central, there are a couple of good lineups. You know, the Cubs, obviously. The Cards at times can be a good lineup, but that's really the Cubs and the Brewers predominantly. But I think it's one of those trades that could be good for both sides. So that's where I'm at on that. I'll tell you, I mean, anytime you have a trade deadline, it's exciting. It's so exciting. You know, to see what's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, Bryce Harper wasn't going to get traded. And that would have shocked me anyway if they had kept him available and he got traded because there wasn't enough time. I didn't talk about Roberto Osuna, the Blue Jays closer, who had the domestic violence incident with his girlfriend and got suspended 75 games. And the Jays decided that they would not have Osuna pitch again at that MLB level, and he went to the Astros. Look, I understand the Astros needed a closer. I do understand all that, but tell you what, man, I mean, that's a team that's been pretty outspoken about stuff because that's very serious stuff, very serious when it comes to domestic violence. Justin Verlander's been pretty outspoken, now the Astros are going to have Osuna pitch for them. So I'm very curious to see what that's going to be like. And, you know, is he going to speak? Is he going to apologize? Because, look, I mean, the Yankees did the same thing with Aroldis Chapman. They took a chance with him. And, I mean, eventually everything smoothed out. Osuna was a very talented closer. Looked like he had a bright future with the Blue Jays, and instead, he is where he is, and he's on the Astros. So, I mean, look, they had a need, so I do understand it, but it doesn't. It just makes me not like them. That's what it makes me. You know, that just makes me not like them more. So, a little more. You know, it was bad enough that the Yankees lost the way they did last year to them. And it happens sometimes. It's the way it happens sometimes. But I mean, they're a hell of a team, obviously. So, and a team that is trying to defend their world title, and they've certainly got the upper hand with their starters. They got that great variety lineup as well. We mentioned before, Correa, who's been disappointing. Bregman certainly hasn't. Altuve, when he gets off the DL, oh man, I mean, he's one of the best players in baseball right there. I mean, you have to be flat out honest about it. Gattis having a tremendous year. They are pretty damn good. So there is that as well. I mean, you know what? I mean, we'll see where it goes. And the AL, look, any of the four teams, and when I say the four teams, obviously the Red Sox I'm talking about, who just don't lose games, the Astros, who are going to be pretty tough if their bullpen performs and they're hitting, which can be unconscious at sometimes. And then you have the Indians, who were looking to add a right fielder, but they didn't. Melky Cabrera's been playing some right field for them after coming off the DL. He'll probably platoon at this point because I think he's more of a platoon guy at this point. He's good defensively. But, yeah, it's tough. It is tough when you get signed so late. Melkman got signed very late. So, and that's part of it. But the Indians have obviously Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor in that middle of the lineup. So that is very scary, along with Edwin Encarnacion. So, you know, those three guys can absolutely rake. And you've got Corey Kluber, two-time Cy Young winner at the top of the rotation, along with Trevor Bauer and Carlos Carrasco. So, I mean, it's really more about their bullpen. How will their bullpen perform? When is Andrew Miller coming back from the disabled list, you know, to help out Brad Hand, to help out Cody Allen? And then the Yankees, of course, kind of in baseball and looking to shorten up games after they acquired Zach Britton. And you have, of course, with Jonathan Holder, who doesn't get enough credit, who I forgot to mention last night. And you have David Robertson, who's been a little more up and down. You have Dellin Betances, who's gotten the eighth inning job back and has been terrific, although, you know, you might see him in Britton mix and match, depending on situations. And then you have Chapman. So, I mean, it's fun. It's fun. It's exciting. Eventually, Judge will be back, and Gary Sanchez will be back too, and hopefully he'll be a lot better than he's been this year. But in the meantime, they'll be okay. They'll be okay. I understand that they're a 500 ball club over the last 16 or so games, but he should be fine. They got Giancarlo hitting very well after the slow start. And he's mashing everything. I mean, when he hits singles, they're like 110 miles per hour. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like watching tennis, watching like a big server just, you know, like an Andy Roddick back in the day, just 135 up the tee. That's what it's like. That's exactly what it's like. It's like a big, watching a big server just dominate where you can't get it returned. And that's what it's like with Stanton when he's hot. Get the hell out of the way. Because, I mean, when he hit the ball, they are rockets. Even the one that he hit on a warning track in that tough 1-1 loss, which was a bad loss to the Royals, the one where Severino, again, had an ineffective game, and they rallied. I mean, he thought he got it, but he didn't. So I expect him to finish very well, and I expect him to get to 40 home runs. I think he can definitely hit the 17 home runs that he needs to get to 40 home runs and to get to probably 100 RBIs. So I still expect that. Yeah, and I just think it was unrealistic to expect him to be as dominant as he was last year. That was an unbelievable performance. You know, it was remarkable what he did last year for the Marlins, for the Marlins, no less. So I mean, you really do have to tip your hat. Now the Indians did add Leonis Martin, Willie Castro. So I mean, Martin can play some outfield. So he could maybe Martin plays a little more than Melky. So, but they can plug him in. I mean, they need a little bit of outfield, so they can plug him. And Martin, he has a little bit of pop, and he can steal the occasional base. He's nothing great. You're not going to hit for much of an average. So, and I'm looking at fake proposals here. This is from a day ago, and this is what you love about the trailer. Actually, this is not really what you love about the trailer, but where people, they make up fake accounts or they make fake trade proposals that have no chance of going through. Like this character here, I'm looking at this guy, and he said, well, sources, this was a day ago, the Mets trade Jacob DeGrom to the Yankees for Gleyber Torres, Albert Abreu, and Luis Gill. And he put those hashtags, Yankees, Mets, MLB, and we'll be Trade Watch 2018. Yeah, as if the Mets would trade Jacob DeGrom to the Yankees, and as the Yankees would ever trade Gleyber Torres. So, I mean, come on, man. So I think Brad Ziegler, who's been how many times has he been a Marlin? Like twice, three times. I think he's also been a Diamondback, like two, three times as well. He was traded as well. Let's just confirm. Yeah, so he did get traded. Looks like he went to the Chicago Cubs. I mean, what the Cubs are doing right now is they're kind of trying to stack their bullpen because their closer is out right now. And so you definitely understand what they're trying to do there. They don't need to do anything. They didn't need to do anything with their lineup. That's what I'm trying to say. And because Chris Bryant will be back. He's been hurt. You know, it happens sometimes. It happens that way sometimes. But yeah, you've got Javier Baez, who's had an excellent season, over 80 RBIs now, and 22 home runs, and I think 20 stolen bases. He still has a shot at that 30-30. Hey, Rizzo's really heated up. Had that walk-off home run, had a home run the next day, and he's hitting leadoff, and he's got an average of 265. You know, they'd obviously like better production, more consistency from Addison Russell, who, for whatever reason, got off to a very poor start. Was the pitchers adjusting? And this is a guy who drove in 94 runs like a couple years ago. I mean, he's still very young. He's a great defensive player, short. I mean, he can really field the ball. There's a lot of great defensive shortstops. Andrelton Simmons is still the best. Addy Russell's got terrific range and he's still under 50 RBIs for the year. So it's strange. I mean, very strange. Wilson Contreras even has underperformed a little. And I think he did have a little bit of an injury. You know, when that lineup's healthy, though, I mean, they can be very, very tough. Almora has been a nice fit in center field. He plays really good defense in center field. Hits over 300. A nice table setter, although I don't think he hits the top of the order. But you know, this is a very, very good lineup. When they're healthy, Zobrist has bounced back with an over 300 average and having a nice year, bounce back year. Ian Happ's still a guy in progress. So they just need Lester to round into form, and they're hoping for the best from Cole Hamels, because that was the big move that they made. They made that move because Yu Darvish has been a bust, a total bust. And I did not like that move. Yes, I did call him Chan Hall Park, something Colin mentioned that I just totally forgot, because I just didn't understand the move. I didn't understand why they paid all that money. But, you know, the pitchers, they can pitch better. Quintana can pitch better than he's pitched. Lester's kind of tailed off a little bit, but he's got the 12 wins and he's leading their state. He's been the one consistent pitcher they have. Hendricks can pitch a lot better. 3.97 ERA. That's very disappointing out of him. He's allowed 19 home runs. Staff Quintana, I mentioned. when you add some of those pieces to the back of the bullpen, you add it to Steve Cishek, I mean, and even Carl Edwards Jr. So it's like they're piecing it together. I don't know how long Brandon Morrow is out, but Brandon Morrow was doing an excellent job after they gave him the money, you know, when he came over from the Dodgers. And they decided, you know what, we think you could be a closer. And he didn't work out as a starter. He, a long time ago, he was with the Toronto Blue Jays. And the Dodgers realized he would be better as a short man. And the Dodgers seem to be good when it comes to figuring that out. So, you know, if Morrow does come back, then also a weakness could become a strength. The starting staff, it just depends how the guys pitch. They pitch better to form. Mean Hamels gets rejuvenated and pitches to form. Hendricks rounds into shape, finishes strong. And Quintana pitches better, more to capability. And also, you know, you got your four right there. Kyle Chatwether could just kick to the curb because he's just terrible. That was a terrible move. I didn't understand that at all. And they have Mike Montgomery as their long man. So Mike Montgomery could spot start, but he's their long man. So, those are not overwhelming moves. Why don't we look at what the Braves did? And I talked a little bit about the Braves, pretty busy team. So I talked about Adam Duvall, a power guy that they were able to get from the Cincinnati Reds. So why don't we look? And I don't really think they gave up a whole lot just because of their system and because of where they are. So I don't really think they gave up too much. So it was right-hander Lucas Sims, who still hasn't quite made it yet, and Matt Weisler, and Preston Tucker was just a backup outfielder, fourth outfielder, basically. But it's going to depend probably on Lucas Sims. So I just think that's a really good move for the Braves, solidifying what they have. I understand he has not hit at all, 15 home runs, 205 average, though, 685 OPS. And this is a guy who had over 30 home runs. So, I mean, and this is a guy who hit 30-plus 2 years in a row after coming over from the Giants and breaking out. So, I mean, I think that's a real nice move for them to make. Definitely should help them. Did Adam Jones get traded? Looks like he might have got traded. Let's see. Did he wind up getting traded? It doesn't really look like anything happened here. So Adam Jones decided he wanted to stay. It looked like the Phillies had some interest in him, but he stays. Matt Harvey stayed with the Reds. I think it's just better he stays with Cincinnati. Seems to fit there. And I think Cincinnati realized, you know what? He's pitched well for us since he came over from the Mets. And he looks like a steal right now for Mesoraco. And we can't stay healthy again. And so, by the way, Chris Sale will not be pitching against the Yankees this weekend. He just got put on a deal with a shoulder inflammation. So that's bad news for the Red Sox. So that just came across, all right, on my MLB app. Only 5 minutes left in the live portion of this baseball podcast. Derek Felix with you, Hard Hits podcast. But I'm giving you everything I can, and I might just do a little extra before I hit the gym, because I will do that after this. I wanted to do a special baseball podcast and talk about the deadline. We've broken down a few teams here, and it's fun. It's definitely fun to do. I like the Red Sox adding Eovaldi. I thought that was a real good trade for them, getting him from Tampa. Eovaldi was a nice player, a nice pitcher for the Yankees. He was good. It was too bad about what happened with Tommy John, and I would have loved to have kept him. And of course, they had to let him go, and then the Rays wound up picking him up, and they rebuilt him. And so that was a good pickup. J.A. Happ was good in his first outing. It was against the Royals, though, so you know it's going to get tougher the next time out when he faces those Red Sox. He's pitched well against the Red Sox historically. His left outing wasn't so good, though, so let's just keep some perspective. Let's see how he does against that lineup. So it'll be very interesting because it's a very dominant right-handed lineup when you talk about Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, two big MVP candidates. In that lineup. So they're scary. They're very, very scary, are they? The Red Sox, and they picked up Ian Kinsler, which I think was a nice addition, a veteran addition, who could play that second base position. And also Devers is hurt also. So they made this move maybe with Devers on the DL, knowing they could move, they could shift Nunez to third. Nunez is a better third base. He's more effective as a hitter too. I think maybe playing second didn't help him as far as production. So, I mean, they made a good move. They still have Brock Holt that they could plug around. He's more of a guy that really should be a backup, not a starter with Pedroia out. I still don't like their – I'm not in love with their catchers. But, you know, but that goes without saying. But then when you have that outfield, I mean, that's the best outfield probably. Well, it's the best defensive outfield in baseball. It might be the best outfield in the game. When you look at Benintendi and what he's developing into, and you look at Jackie Bradley, who makes every play in center field. Yeah, I mean, and don't forget about Bogarts. Bogarts is kind of overlooked now when you look at that team. Everybody looks at the other guys because they're bigger right now. You know, they look at bats. They look at J.D. Martinez. And they even look at Benintendi. But, you know, you forget about Bogarts and how consistent he is. I mean, he's got like 65 RBIs, and he wasn't even an all-star. So with their staff, obviously Chris Sale going on the DL, it will hurt. David Price pitched yesterday and pitched pretty well against the Phillies, a game that went long before Blake Swihart got the walk-off hit. I think it was either the 13th or 14th inning against the Phillies in a very close-fought game between two good teams. So Andrew McCutchen did not get moved. I didn't see him getting moved. Yeah, I'm sure there was a little – it sounded like there was some interest in bringing McCutchen in somewhere, where maybe he could play some outfield. The Yankees even showed a little bit of interest, but he would have become a backup. And the Giants, they're so lost in what they should be doing as a franchise. You know, they continue to cover it up, and it continues to blow up in their faces, and they continue to give out bad contracts. Mark Melanson has been a disaster. He continues to blow games for them. Longoria, I didn't understand making that move. I understood they wanted to upgrade their base, but why be so impatient? Why not just rebuild it and let Christian Arroyo develop into that third baseman? Why make that move? But the move for McCutchen, that was another move that I didn't quite understand. It's almost like, and McCutchen hit his 11th home run today. I mean, it's just very disappointing. You know what the best part of that team right now is? Ivan Rodriguez's brother. I mean, no, his brother, not his son. Yeah, his son. His son pitches for the Giants. He's pitching another good game today. 5 2/3, 3 hits, 1 error, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. But if I had to call a team a loser, I guess I would put the Giants in that category. The Mets, obviously, are in that category. The Orioles are. You know, what I want to do with this being in overtime now, I actually do want to take a look at what the Orioles got. But I know that they got Jonathan Villar, and Jonathan Villar is a guy who could play second base. And he's really more of a utility guy, a guy who has great speed. Can bat close to the top of the order. There's a little bit of pop in his bat, but I think he's about 27 or 28 already. It really becomes about the two prospects that they got, because when you trade away a Jonathan Schoop, who was a very, very productive player for the Orioles, I understand he underperformed this year, but to me, that's a guy I would have kept. That's a guy I would keep. I wouldn't trade him. I don't understand. I don't understand trading. He'll be 27 after the season ends. And he might be playing in October, so he might still be playing when he hits 27 October 16th. He makes $8.5 million. He signed through 2018. So he's up for arbitration. So, yes. But I didn't realize he can turn free agent in 2020. So maybe the Orioles just decided we don't think we can re-sign him, so we're just going to get rid of him now. But I just think that's terrible. I mean, that's the same organization that paid Chris Davis all that money. And I understand Chris Davis was productive and hit 50 home runs, but anybody could see that Chris Davis, you know, had a weakness and would strike out a lot and would probably regress, and that's exactly what happened. Now, if there is a criticism, as I'm looking at Mr. Shoup, and that would be after the 32 home run 105 year last year, and after 25. That's why I figured he was just on his way. He's up to 17 home runs now, 4 year horizon, and that's been over the last 2 weeks basically. 244 still. It would be his on base percentage because he doesn't walk much. Like, he's got 12 walks this year. That's brutal. That's Javier Baez like. That's the one criticism of Javier Baez that I have. 74 strikeouts. So he is a little bit of a free swinger. I saw a little bit of that when he faced the Yankees. And that would be my one criticism. But this is a guy who makes solid contact and a guy that I like him. I like him. So, I mean, we'll have to see how it works out. At least how it goes for the Brewers. The Brewers now, they can shift him to shortstop because they don't really have a shortstop that he can actually play short. And they could keep Travis Short at second base. And they could have Mike Moustakas at third. And first base, obviously, would be Aguilar, who's had a terrific season. All he's kind of cooled off after being so hot when they hit the All-Star break. And here's some bad news. J.A. Happ was sent home with hand, foot, mouth disease. Wow. Can you believe it? So, not only did it happen to Noah Syndergaard, but J.A. Happ with the same hand-mouth disease that basically occurs with children. So, is it time for them to be a little more careful when they're doing these events? I mean, and everybody loves charity, but you obviously don't want kids spreading their germs. And he's got hand-mouth disease. Yeah, Syndergaard's missed some time already. I mean, so it looks like he's not going to be pitching his next start on Saturday against the Red Sox. That's unbelievable. I mean, who would have ever thought? Who would have thought? One thing I have to commend Cashman on, and once you cannot commend Cashman these days, he did not give up his quote-unquote studs, his prospects. Chance Adams is still around, by the way. Pitts had actually had six no-hit innings the other night and showed some signs until it was broken up. And he readily admits he hasn't been the same pitcher. He had surgery last year. So he went from, basically number one prospect to number 13 on the list. He's only 23, though. So, and, reading that interview, it sounds like he does have confidence in himself. And it did come across kind of like, almost like he just wants to get to the majors and doesn't care if he stays with the Yankees, he stays with the Yankees. If not, he'll go to another team. So, but you know what? What it comes down to is he just has to get it back. He feels like he's getting his velocity back. So obviously pitched well on his last start. So that's a promising sign. But Chance Adams is no longer the number one guy. Obviously Justice Sheffield is. And Justice Sheffield is not going anywhere. And Chance Adams will turn 24 in 10 days. 11 days. It will be, actually it is 10 days, August 10th. So, obviously I root for Chance Adams to get it back together because I like him and I hope it works out. The walks have been high. Strikeouts are still pretty good. 81 hits in 98 innings is not bad. It's just that he's given up 11 home runs and he's walked 48 batters. So if he can find it and get the whip back down to where it was last year, the last couple of years, boy, he could break back in there. But when you hold on to Justice Sheffield, you hold on to Chance Adams, which is good. I still think that's good. You hold on to Florial. There's a lot of reason to be excited about the Yankees' future still. So, this is not just about this year. It's about the future as well. Clint Frazier is still around as well. And he couldn't be moved anyway. with what happened to him and with the concussion. And I still want to see what he can do. I mean, I don't know if there's a guarantee that Brett Gardner resigns. I love Brett Gardner to death. He's been a terrific Yankee, but you know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to see what Clint Frazier do. You know, maybe let him take over left field, give you a little more punch. But I would miss Brett Gardner as well. So, and Aaron Hicks, you know, he gives you a really good center field. He doesn't hit for the average that you'd like to see, but he makes up for it with clutch hits. I mean, he's pretty selective at the plate too. When where's Dave Winfield's old number, 31? Something that Brian Sanhorn mentioned to me. By the way, Aaron Hicks, it just tells you about his defense. And I've always loved his defense. I've raved about him defensively because he chased down a lot of balls. 256 average, 16 home runs, or 17 home runs, 47 RBI. Not overwhelming, right? Not overwhelming until you realize that the 17 home runs are a career best. And then he's 5 off his career high of 52 RBIs last year. So, and he's got 8 stolen bases. And he's got the 851 OPS, right? So what's his wins above replacement, you ask? 3.3. That's pretty damn good. And that tells you about the value of Aaron Hicks. And that tells you a lot about Brian Castro, why he traded for him. Because Hicks will take walks. Hicks doesn't swing at a lot of bad pitches. He's got 48 walks and he's got 68 strikeouts. So this is not just – it's not just about that. But it's about Cashman making smart moves. He felt that Lance Lynn could be an upgrade as the long reliever who could also spot start. Severino looking a little bit maybe tired. CC if they need to give him an extra day for his knee and so forth. And Tanaka, we always have to, you know, just make sure he's okay every fifth day. So he felt he was an upgrade over Adam Moore. And I really love Adam Moore. And, you know, obviously wish him the very best with Seattle Mariners. He can try to get them into playoffs. When you look at Lance Lynn's numbers, obviously it's pretty ugly. 7-8 with the 5.10 ERA. That's as ugly as it gets with the Twins. He did sign. Actually, he wasn't traded. He signed. I wanted to correct something I said on yesterday's show. So you know, he makes $12 million. But he has pitched a little bit better. He has pitched very well against the Red Sox. Teams make these moves. They're looking at how these guys pitch against potential postseason opponents. That's what the thinking is. So, and Lance Lynn could be a little more versatile. You can spot start him. You can pitch him as the long man. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. He's 31. I didn't even realize he was 31 already, but he is. Wow. So it just goes to show you. Tommy Pham, the Cardinals outfielder, was also traded. So I want to give some details on Mr. Tommy Pham, a guy who had the breakout year last year for the Cardinals. He was in his late 20s. So let's look at Tommy Pham for a second. Tommy Pham. So absolutely, the trade deadline did, you know, come and pass. And that's where we are right now. So Tommy Pham, obviously, getting moved, and it was the Rays that decided to acquire him. Tommy Pham to the Rays. So this is the trade. So it seems like the Cardinals got a lot back because they also gave up international cap space. So they traded Pham, a nice outfielder. He's got a little bit of pop in his bat, corner outfielder, and some international cap space to the Rays. And they get back outfielder Justin Williams, left-handed pitcher Genesis Cabrera, and right-handed pitcher Roel Ramirez. R-O-E-L. Roel. That's why I said Roel Ramirez. So, I mean, so it's kind of a strange trade, actually. But the Rays have been competitive. This is kind of a strange trade. Yeah, I mean, and they're stuck with, I guess they're stuck with Dexter Fowler. Look, it's just been a very bad year for him. And he was good last year for the Cards, but been obviously a brutal disappointment. Even Osuna's been a little bit of a disappointment for the Cards this year. I thought he would compete for the MVP or be in that top upper echelon for it, because I thought in that lineup, I thought he would do very well. But it really hasn't worked out that way. Now, Pham last year had 23 home runs and had 73 RBIs after basically being a bench player and stole 25 bases. This year, down to earth, he hit 306 last year. This year, 248, 14 home runs, 41 RBIs, though. So not bad production, 10 out of stolen bases, 10 out of 16. So 67 runs scored. So he's 30 years old. He's a corner outfielder. So not bad. Not great. So that's Tommy Pham. I'm trying to think. Are there any teams that I've left out? I talked about the Yankees. Zach Britton obviously being a good addition. Lance Lynn, probably an upgrade over Adam Warren. And J.A. Happ, who now has the dreaded hand-mouth disease that, so we can no longer make fun of the Mets or make jokes at our expense, because it seems like these things all happen to the Mets. Guess what? It just happened to the Yankees as well. It just goes to show you hand-mouth foot disease. It's very strange. I do not understand. Now, this move was made because Tyler O'Neill, apparently the Cardinals, for the Cards, he has 26 home runs, 61 RBIs in the minors. So they obviously are pretty high on Tyler O'Neill. So there you go. I'm just trying to think here. By the way, Williams Cabrera are numbers 14 and 25 as far as the prospects go. Let's go back. I just want to go back again on that one trade. The trade between the Brewers and the Orioles that basically just be kind of like that Rangers-Tampa Bay Lightning trade at the NHL deadline, which just beat the buzzer. So, those are the most exciting deals. The ones that can beat the buzzer, because you just don't, you know, they come out of nowhere and then boom, just like that. Yeah, it is funny what you'll see when you do your Twitter searches, what you'll see coming up here. Like I punch in SCH and I see Scherzer and Scherzer trade. I'm just like, Scherzer trade? Like, why? I mean, very, very odd. Very odd. I mean, it's funny. It's funny the way things are, I'll tell you. I'm really curious. I still don't know how Travis Shaw will do playing second base with Shoot playing shortstop. The prospects are Luis Ortiz, a right-hander, Luis Ortiz, a right-hander, and a pitcher, and shortstop Gene Carmona. Ortiz was ranked 7th best prospect in the Brewer system. Carmona is ranked 14th best prospect in the system. So I just want to clarify on that, because I saw that before. That's the whole thing. You know, when you look at these trades, it shouldn't just be about the teams that are picking up the guys. It should be about what's going back to the other team. You know, for the Orioles' sake, they better hope that these guys pan out, because they give up a good player, but that 273 OBP is very bad. Yep. This year, this July was ending 356 in July, and he's hit 22 of his last 23. He's probably got about, I bet he's got at least half his home runs in this month. Maybe, I think he might have 10 of his 17, because he was not doing anything before this month. So let's look here. Ortiz was actually considered the number 5 prospect. This is according to an article that appeared in the journal Centeno by Tom Hadrocourt in Milwaukee. So just a little more on the players that are going back to the Brewers. So we're just giving a little more information on the prospects. Really isn't much in terms of numbers. Villar, you know, it's worth noting, you know, it was a couple of seasons ago, but he led the majors in steals for 62 and 826 OPS, but you know, obviously came back down to earth last year after he was moved from short to second. And this year his production slipped again. Obviously for the Orioles, they're hoping that Villar can still deliver. Ortiz, by the way, who actually was originally part of the Jonathan LaCroix trade, Jeremy Jeffress trade, he's in Double A Biloxi with a 3-4 record and 3.71 ERA and 11 starts. Carmona's only 18 years old, so Ortiz is 22. Carmona's 18. Was hitting 239 rookie ball with only 4 home runs, 24 guys. But he's a rookie. He's a rookie ball right now. So, I mean, the pitcher sounds decent. Doesn't sound great. Sounds okay. The other guy is an A ball. Well, A ball. So, they better hope Villar delivers, because I don't think that's such a great trade. Yeah, I didn't like it. I don't really understand the Orioles to begin with, but I'm not really crazy about that return. I guess it will depend on Ortiz. The other guy, you're not gonna, if he ever makes the majors, not gonna be around for a long time. So. It really depends on the pitcher right there, Ortiz. So, yeah, I always try to evaluate these things and try to evaluate it from both ends of the spectrum. The Nats are a big loser, in my opinion, just because, you know, maybe they were stuck. Maybe they just felt they're stuck. We may as well just take one more shot at it. But they just seem like a team that's in limbo. There's a disconnect in the locker room. I mentioned Bryce Harper's not-so-pleasing commentary after JT Realmuto, best catcher probably in the sport, who stayed with the Marlins, which is good. That's a good thing. You know, got that walk-off hit. Wouldn't have happened if we had him. It's not exactly the kind of commentary you expect from a locker room leader, or supposedly a locker room leader, you know, in his walk year. And he says that he wants probably $400 million over the next 10 years. I mean, he makes 23 already. I've already talked about how disappointing it's been this year. So, yeah, and you have other guys that are up, like Daniel Murphy. And they have a future outfield without him. So, but the staff's getting a little older. Scherzer, obviously. I don't know how long he's going to keep doing this. I mean, how long can he keep dominating the way he's dominated? Unless he's like, maybe he is like Randy Johnson. I don't know. Maybe he is. But the strikeouts and on pace to win another Cy Young. Unless Jacob DeGrom can, let the Mets start to get him some W's. It's going to be hard for DeGrom to beat Scherzer out. Well, I think DeGrom would deserve it. But 200 strikeouts already for the dollar max, and $1 million max, that is. And 14 wins. 2.30 ERA. And he's just a dominant pitcher. I mean, ever since he got to the Nets, it started with the Tigers. It's funny because when you think about Scherzer's start, he was with the Diamondbacks, and then there was the three-team trade between the Diamondbacks, the Tigers, and the New York Yankees, where the Yankees wound up with Curtis Granson, and Ian Kennedy wound up with the Diamondbacks, and Max Scherzer wound up with the Detroit Tigers. And Scherzer's first couple of years with the Tigers, they were all right. But it wasn't until his 28th season that he broke out and won 21 games and had a 2.9 all ERA and won his first Cy Young. So, I mean, after that, it's just been dominance after dominance after dominance. So, but then you look at the rest of the staff, I mean, it's a good staff, but it's not great. You know, I'm trying to just term it the right way. Tanner Roark is a solid back of the end rotation starter, a good four, good three or four. Tommy Malone's pitching for them against the Mets. If they're one game under 500, Tommy Malone should not be pitching for them. Tyler Molly is pitching for them as well. But I think he's a younger pitcher, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he's 23 years old. I knew he was a young guy. So he's a younger guy that they got from the Reds. What did they give up for him? I think he was just picked up somehow. Yeah, doesn't even indicate anything. Oh, no, it just shows that Tyler Riley started for the Reds. My mistake there. My honest mistake on that. But, this lineup, and I understand there are guys that are hurt. It should be more productive than it is. And Gio Gonzalez is getting older. So Tanner Roark is also getting older. And Strasburg's hurt again. Hellickson's 31. Malone is 31. I mean, their staff is old. It is old. I mean, it can change in a hurry. And you look at their bullpen, too. Kinsler was 33. They decided to move on from him. Matson's 37. He's been around for a long time. Sean Doolittle's on the DL. He's been closing games. Sean Kelly's 34, former Yankee. He's bounced around. Salas. Kelvin Herrera was a good pickup. He has not pitched great for them, but was a nice pickup. So their staff is getting older. I already talked about Strasburg, and he's been a disappointment. So they really need to consider redoing it because they're getting older. And Matt Wieters has not worked out at all for them. And Ryan Zimmerman, of course, came back to earth and has been hurt most of the year after his just monster year last year. Daniel Murphy, it's hard to be the same when you have that kind of surgery. So it's very difficult. He's been a terrific Nat. He really has been. The 347, 25-104. Where he finished well, he finished second in MVP voting. He was unbelievable. And last year, too, with the 322, 2393, and the 43 doubles, unbelievable. I mean, that's two terrific years. That's about as good as it gets for him. It's unfortunate that coming back from the injury slowed him down because he's been a fun player to follow. You wonder what future does he have when he hits free agency. So that's the question. He's 33 years old now. We'll take a chance on a guy like Murphy. That's a good question. So, I mean, I pretty much have gone over most of the big deals that happened. And overall impressions, I feel like most of the teams, they made their moves early. They didn't really wait until the end. Although the Brewers did get Jonathan Schoop right at the buzzer, basically, right before that closing bell went off at the New York Stock Exchange today, Wall Street. Something I joked about in the little walk-up. But you know, these teams really stayed active. The Yankees and Red Sox sure did. The Dodgers did what they had to do. And then they added Brian Dozier to their lineup. A lineup that has Manny Machado in it. Muncy has peak. I think it's healthy. Peterson, who's much better against righties. Bellinger, who they can play in the outfield. Or at first, and Grandal, so behind the plate. There are a lot of arms, obviously. And you may as well just call it an arms race because, you know, these teams, they were just all after, like, arms. I mean, it didn't matter who it was. They all tried to add, could help them out of the bullpen. So that was very interesting. Some of it a little bit of a desperation. Sergio Romo did not move. Kevin Gausman to the Braves, he did move. So, I mean, it's unique. It's very unique, obviously, how things change. You know, John Heyman noted that the Orioles saved $35 million off all the trades that they made. And they also received $2.5 million in international bonus bucks in the big deal with the Braves. But, I mean, what difference does it make? What difference does it make when your owner is an idiot, is a freaking idiot, and they have such a beautiful ballpark and nobody goes to the games? And when the Yankees play there, it's basically half Yankee fans or maybe even more. I mean, the way it is. No, they don't draw, and they just get rid of all their good young talent. I just don't get it. At least they didn't trade Dylan Bundy. That would have really been stupid. Gausman is a pitch-to-contact guy, so I don't know. But they did give up on him pretty early. So, I mean, it's just very strange the way things go. The Dodgers also added John Axford, a veteran reliever. Jake Diekman went to the Diamondbacks. The D-backs added some guys for the pen. And they also, I think, added Eduardo Escobar for third base. So those were their moves. The package for Dozier wasn't that great either. Logan Forsyth, and Rayleigh and Smelter. Those were some of the deals. Interesting. I think the Reds might actually be on the right track. Because I think they realize now how they have to build it. And Matt Harvey would be a good guy to keep. I don't think he's going to cost a ton to keep at this point. Yeah, he's not going to be a frontline guy anymore, but his fastball's back up to 98 or is 95 for most of the year. But it seems like he's learning how to pitch. He's got out of New York, and he's no longer the Dark Knight. He's no longer Harvey Dent. He's just a pitcher now. And maybe that's what he needs. Maybe the best thing was for him to get out of New York. It's worked out a little bit better for him. And if he's smart, he'll re-sign with the Reds. So re-up with the Reds. That would be the thing to do. That would be the smart thing to do. And the Reds did not trade him. But he could be maybe a middle of the rotation starter. And so he doesn't have to be the guy who carries the load. But he could be maybe a number three, a solid four.
Yeah, so Russell number three and a solid four. I think he could be a three. So that would probably be where I would put Matt Harvey at this point. We'll see as his career continues. And that's not too bad. That is not bad at all. So, I mean, look, you have to remember what he came back from. I just think there were a lot of unrealistic expectations. He's just much better for the Reds after the poor beginning, which was not surprising. You know, when you struggle like that, it usually takes a little while. 5-4 with a 4.44 ERA, it doesn't sound great, but he's pitched better of late. 73 innings with the Reds, 70 hits, 12 home runs. The home runs, he needs to work on not giving up that long ball. Ball does fly out of that ballpark, I will say that. And the 17 walks and the 56 strikeouts. The show's about to end, so I may as well end it now. I mean, I pretty much named some of the winners. And I didn't go with the Red Sox. I didn't make the Yankees a top three winner because I just think there were teams that did better. I think there are teams that did better. You know, I talked about the Phillies, who I liked what they did. I also talked about the Brewers. I thought they did very well. I think I'm going to include the Rays. I like what they did also. So those teams, and the Braves too, they did good as well. So those are the teams to me that stood out. The Dodgers. The Dodgers would be the Dodgers. So I put the Dodgers over the Braves. But those are the teams that I thought did the best job. I mean, I understand what Cashman did. He's trying to piece together with the bullpen, just get the right pieces in place. I would have liked a Granderson reunion. It didn't happen. And that's pretty much going to do it. And maybe it wound up being a Seattle Mariner. Mariners made some quiet moves that could help them in that race with the Oakland A's. And I thought the A's did a good job, too. Yeah, I mean, how could we forget the A's stealing some money from the Mets? So, real fun to do. It's always fun to do a baseball podcast and talk trade. So now it's time for me to get out and do some fun stuff. So, for anybody that listens to the show, Hard Hits Network on blogtalkradio.com, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/hardhits. That's HARDHITS, the number 21. And you could find any of the podcasts, any of the shows that I've done, and you could listen to it on iTunes, any podcast format, download and listen, and listen to any of the shows. I'm trying to focus a little more on certain things. So, I thought last night's show was pretty good, and this show was fun too. So, now it's time to move forth. Yankees have a game tonight with Tanaka going and the Orioles. And we'll see, you know, where these teams are as we get into August and see how some of these trades pan out. So, that's going to do it. And I'll wrap it up with, I like the Pirates taking the chance. They're showing the fans that, you know what, yeah, they're only three games over 500, but they're showing the fans, you know what, they want to compete. So, yes, they gave up two really good prospects, and Meadows could be a star. But if they think they could fix Archer and make him into a better pitcher, then, you know what, power to them. All right, so thank you for listening. I am Derek Felix, and this is the Hard Hits Network. Thank you for tuning in to this special baseball podcast. It was fun to do the trade deadline, and we'll see you all next time, all right? Have a good rest of your evening. Peace out.